we could say the same with respect to the arts, that I don't know, like, do we want to live in a world where the robots write our novels for us, write our poetry for us? These are things that deep parts of what provide us meaning as humans. The grand dream of the Jetsons or Star Trek was that the robots would release us from our drudgery so that we could do more science, do more art, write more poetry, write more songs. And now it seems increasingly the case that the robots are taking away our ability to produce the art. It doesn't necessarily have to be this case. We can have a good fight over democratic control over AI and what we want it to do. I could absolutely foresee an application of artificial intelligence making far easier for us to solve or come close to solving the socialist calculation debate, to finally make planning of a lot of the economy finally realizable. If AI can spot patterns in supply and demand that humans could not possibly recognize. But I do worry at the moment the way the conversation is proceeding with respect to AI is a retreat to this sort of anti-AI or pro-AI discourse instead of, well, what kind of AI discourse? The power of AI is potentially the biggest fight before us. Of anything, really.
I've never thought of that before. Like, the real problem with AI is not that it might never write a song that's good enough. What happens if it writes a song that's too good? And then we're just like, that's the best song ever. It's not Tenacious D, but it's like AI. And so therefore there is no point of art anymore because the AI is too good. Oh, that's that's super depressing. Thank you, Lisa.
It's really depressing, isn't it?
Hello, welcome to the second reading club of 2026. This is the BungleCast reading club of your favorite global politics podcast at the end of history. In fact, the one and only of such nature. I'm Alex Ohili in São Paulo, Brazil, joined as usual by George Hoare in London. Hello.
Hello.
And for this reading club, someone we haven't seen in a while, contributing editor Lee Phillips. That's L-E-I-G-H, different from the other homonymous Lee, which is with a double E. This is Lee Phillips, science writer and geologist with a highly appropriate mustache for a geologist, I must say. And I mean that in the highest possible terms of that a compliment can be.
Thank you. Glad to be back from the boonies.
Yeah. Yeah, back in Victoria.
Back in Victoria, yes. I was in the Tootagon Mining District in north central British Columbia until a few weeks ago. Yeah, so it's good. It's good to be back. The other Lee is back.
The other Lee is back. Yeah, well, competing Lee.
The one whose name is spelled correctly.
Right. Yeah. We can maybe lean Lee just to distinguish the... That would be terrible. Anyway, so back to civilization. This is very apposite because we are here to talk about technology and the rate of scientific and technological development and its ostensible slowdown. What we're reading today, and we're discussing this reading club, is a piece by David Graeber called Of Flying Cars and the Declining Rate of Profit, which came out in The Baffler magazine in 2012. Now, David Graeber, I'm sure you know, listener, was an anthropologist and anarchist who died prematurely 6 years ago. I was thinking about this. Probably you could argue that he was the foremost left-wing thinker of our age, for better or for worse. I was looking back and I kind of remember how kind of young he was, I suppose. He turned 30 in 1991, finished his doctorate in 1996. Most of his famous books were published after the global financial crisis. As an anarchist, his thinking in some ways represented a sort of confluence with the times and the return of anarchist thinking after Marxism. Politically, he was involved with the alter-globalization movement, with Occupy Wall Street, possibly most famously, activism around Rojava, behind Corbynism, around climate change. So all the kind of major touch points of left-wing activism of the 2000s and 2010s, I think. So I don't know. I think, would you agree with that assessment of Graeber before we go any further?
I mean, I certainly feel that he leaned more towards the sort of anarchist side of the left than other figures. I mean, you could maybe pick out the maybe